So today, we're going to continue. I really don't have a label for the series that I'm in, but we've been looking at these quotes that have really struck a chord with us when we think about when Moses stood at the Red Sea and he said, "Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, behold the rod of God." When Joseph was passing out the blessings to his family, he said, "Surely God will come." Man, I'm telling you, that has resonated in me. Surely God's coming. Jesus is coming back. That's our only hope. That is the world's only hope. Come on. It's not in systems. It's not in thought patterns. But our only hope is in Jesus Christ, who is coming back. Amen? And we need to have that on our hearts and our lips. I think about Joshua, who made that decision. "As for me and some of my house." No, "For me and my house," our entire house, "we will serve the Lord." And then last week we talked about the woman with the issue of blood and the power of the touch that had a voice when she said, "If I just touch the hem of his garment." Awesome. So today we're going to have a little study done on determined purpose. Everyone say, determined purpose. But first, I'd like to tell you a funny story, okay? So the story goes, this was in a changing area in a golf club, men's area, and there was a cell phone on the bench, and it rang. And the guy pushed the talk button, and this woman came on and says, "Hi, honey." And he says, "Well, hi, honey." And she said, "What?" And the guy said, "Well, what? Where are you?" He says, "Well, I'm at the pro shop, and there's a leather coat here that, man, it is just beautiful. I could use a new one, and it's only $2,000. And so, is that okay if I get that?" And the guy said, "Well, sure. If you're needing something like that, then why don't you just go ahead and get that?" And she said, "Well, there's something else. I was on the way here, and I was having a little trouble with my car, and I stopped at the Mercedes shop, and they said, well, you know, we've got this other car over here that you might want to take a look at. It's only 200 grand. Is that right? Okay, 200 grand. And, you know, you could trade in all this stuff." And she says, "What do you think about that?" And the guy said, "Well, that'd be all right. Maybe offer him 220,000, but we'll go the extra, or 200,000. I think the price was 220. Okay, get it right here, Jack. Anyway, so said, "If you feel like we need to trade, then go ahead and trade." And then she said, "Well, then after that, I got a call from our real estate agent." It gets bigger as it goes on, right? The real estate agent called and said, "You know, I know you've been looking for a different house, and I think I have found the absolute perfect house for you. It's only $2 million. But I think it's going to go quick, and I think it's the perfect house for you." So she said, so do you want to go look at it?" He said, "No, if you think that's right, then why don't you go ahead and speak for the house?" And she said, "Okay." And so they hung up, and a half a second later, the guy looked around the locker room and said, "Does anybody know whose cell phone this is?" You guys wake up. I rolled on the floor. I thought that was hilarious. Whose cell phone is it? Selling $200 million worth of stuff, you know? Anyway, all right. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And we're going to look at this determined purpose because, you know, it's great to have examples. Timothy talks about having examples. And the Apostle Paul was a great example of a man, a person like you and me that did great things. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and traveled the Middle Eastern areas immensely and changed that part of the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we benefit from his walk with the Lord. And one of the keys to his walk with God was having a determined purpose. And so I'd like to read these two verses in Philippians chapter 3. And this is out of the Amplified Classic Edition, and you'll see why I like this. Because the first part of the verse is, "For my determined purpose is." So I'm going to ask you that question. You don't have to answer me, but what is your determined purpose in life? What drives you? What makes you get up in the morning? What makes you do the things you do? What is your purpose? What is your determined purpose in life? And he answers it, that I might know him, that I might progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving, recognizing, and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Verse 11, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share in his sufferings as to be continually transformed in the spirit into his likeness, even to his death and in the hope. So may God add a blessing to the reading of the verse, and that if it's possible, I may attain to spiritual moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while I'm in the body. Praise the Lord. I memorized most of that at one point in time, and I was reading through Ephesians the other day, and I just thought, wow, this is a great sermon. For my determined purpose. Church, we need to be like Paul. We need to have a determined purpose, ultimately. And what should that determined purpose be? That we might know him. To perceive and to recognize and to understand the wonders of his person. I'm getting ahead of myself here in terms of the wonders. But so I thought we'd take a minute and just kind of look at God's purpose, our purpose, and then how to be determined in our purpose in life. God's purpose. And we can just read this off the outline. God's purpose is to restore. He is not in the tear down business. He's in the restoration business. I wish Perry was here, because Perry is in the restoration business. He'll take a fender and he'll build this absolutely beautiful car, perfectly spray painted and operating with the hum of a beautiful motor, and he'll make it perfect. As perfect as it can get. We would call it perfect. Beautiful. If you've ever seen cars restored, you just go, wow. I look at the Mustangs, the 60s, I see it on Facebook. I see Mustangs, I see GTOs, I see all sorts of muscle cars that absolutely are beautiful. And that's what God does. He restores. He's in the restoration business. He takes us from our sin and he sets us on high and he restores us to a relationship with Father God. Hallelujah. And God's purpose is to restore his people to their true nature, the image that they were created in, to have fellowship with God. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. They don't have a clue what fellowship with God is. We know what Genesis says, that Adam walked in the cool of the garden with God. Wow. That's you and me. We were created to have that fellowship with God, to have that personal relationship with God. And the purpose of Christ's coming was to redeem mankind who'd been lost, to bring back the image of God that was lost in the Garden of Eden. If you want to understand having fellowship with God, go back and read the account of creation of mankind in Genesis and see how wonderful it is. Okay, so that was God's purpose, to restore that back. What's our purpose? To glorify God and to make known to mankind who God really is to them. and to experience the true love of God and share that with mankind. Every week goes by. I've said this multiple times. Every week goes by, I have to be on the phone with somebody about something. Just the way it is. My email goes down. You got to call and talk to somebody. And for the first time, somebody said, "Bless you," back to me before I said it. For the first time. And every time I say, "God bless you," on the phone to somebody, you know what I think? I think, am I the only person that has ever said that to them ever in their life? Used to be real common. "God bless you." Used to be very common in society. And I still think that today. Who are you the first Jesus to be to? Not only just on the phone, but in the marketplace or in gatherings, wherever they're at. Who are you the first one who's going to ever talk to somebody about a personal relationship with Jesus? It's right in front of us. Hallelujah. And that should be our purpose, so that people could experience God. So how can we be determined to follow a path to an ordained goal with an expected end, and the determinations of our life, those resolutions, those decisions, and those directions? You know, Larry's going to get up here in a couple of weeks, and he's going to say, "How was your yearly Bible reading?" And I'm going to crouch down and go, "Not so good, Pastor Larry." Anybody else want to say, "Ouch"? You know, come on. Let's get with the program. So, right. But the determinations of our life, those resolutions, those decisions, those directions, will take us to the terminations, the results. So our determinations take us to our terminations. The determinations will take us to our goal. So what goal do you want to set? What goal do you want to set? Not necessarily for the new year, but just for life. You know, the passion that we have. Hallelujah. So how do we increase our determined purpose? That's the type of teacher I am at the pulpit when Paul said, "For my determined purpose is this, that I might know him." So how do we increase that determined purpose? Well, the first thing is to increase our acquaintance with him. And when we think about acquaintance, we think about, "Oh, well, I know Joe Blow. He's one of my acquaintances. I know who he is, and he knows who I am." No. The scripture takes it a little bit deeper than that. In Job chapter 22, verse 21, we had a pastor that taught this verse, and he taught it week after week after week. I think it was probably a 3 months or something that he taught on this verse. But it says, "Acquaint now thyself with God, and be at peace, and thereby good shall come unto thee." You know, we need to know God. And the only way we can know God is to have a passion and a determination to know him better and greater, to be acquainted in every area of God. The second thing is to continually understand that God is not hiding from us. There's people that say God is far away. No, he's not. He is Jehovah. He is close. He is near to us. John 17, verse 3, it says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Aren't you thankful that God's not hiding from us? He's opened up heaven for us. He's opened a door for us. Yeah, he says, "I am the door." He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the good shepherd." Hallelujah. "I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the doorway of the sheep. I am the way, the truth, and life. I'm the good vine. I'm the true vine." Hallelujah. "I'm the resurrection and the life. The great I ams." Hallelujah. The other thing that struck me was opening our eyes to how wonderful he is. You know, we have that Christmas song in Isaiah 9, verse 6. What's the first word? "He's wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." But the first word is wonderful. You know? Now, Helen, you don't know this, but when you say the word wonderful, you've got a zing to that word that just has always impressed me. How was your trip to Florida? It was wonderful. You just have a way of saying it. It's maybe I'm the only one that notices it. But, you know, God is wonderful. What is it about God that people don't want? They don't want God because they don't know how wonderful He is. So who in the cotton-picking world is going to tell them about it? Raise your hand. Come on. It's me. It's my job. And it's interesting because the Hebrew of the word wonderful means His nature. It's not something that you do. It's something you are. God is wonderful because He is wonderful. That's who He is. That's His nature. And we need to be that to people. We need to have that character on the inside of us, not just a mental ascent. Number four, we need to recognize the power of the resurrection on the inside of us. Now, I'm teaching to the choir here. I know that. But we need to be reminded that we have the when God came down and took Jesus up out of that grave and resurrected Him from the dead, those megawatts that went into Him at that point in time is the same power that's on the inside of us. Come on. It is the same power that lives on the inside of us. And sometimes I shrink down and not witness very well, and I think, you dodo, you got the power of resurrection on the inside of you. Come on. We have it. It's available to us. Amen. Yeah, Acts 1:8. But you shall maybe receive power. Yeah, no. You shall receive power. You shall receive. Shall is the strongest verb in the English language in the scripture. Shall. You can go to the bank on that. And the last point is that any suffering, because, you know, we all have challenges. Any suffering that we go through is for transformation, to become more like Him. It's not fun. It's not fun to go through trials and tribulations. But the Bible says, in the world, you will have trials. Everyone say, I will have trials. He said, but be of good cheer. Oh, get happy. Oh, get happy. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Be of good cheer because I have overcome your trials and your tribulations. And those things are there just to help teach you and train you and polish you and bring you to the place where you become Jesus to a lost and a dying world. Hallelujah. So Paul said, for my determined purpose is this, that I might know Him and that I might progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving, recognizing, and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. So let's have a determined purpose to be more in love with God and to share more of that love wherever we're at. Hallelujah. You know, every time I've ever asked a stranger or somebody that I may be not well acquainted with, can I pray with you? I've only been turned down once, and I prayed for him anyway. But we can do it. Say, we can do this. We can do this, church. Let's stand. Father, your word is truth and it's life to us. Thank you for your word today. And I pray, God, that this message today would ring true and strong in our hearts. Lord, that our determined purpose would be to share the love of Jesus with a lost and a dying world in our day-to-day walks with you. So, Lord, I pray for a fresh passion and a fresh anointing on all of us here, Father, to share, to have that determined purpose, to not only just know you, but to share what we know about you. And for that, we give you praise, we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And amen. So God bless you, everybody. Have a super duper week.